Attention, attention, news of the day. Many in England are disenchanted by the Labour Party due to the fact that the principal leader of the Liberal Party, Thorpe, was involved in conspiracy to murder a former homosexual partner who was trying to blackmail him or whitemail him. Great Britain suggests that the U.S. intelligence services are involved in this. The Prime Minister said it is an attempt to allow the Conservatives to win the next election, which is very frightening because Margaret Thatcher has pledged that she will remove from England all people of color. She will allow none to immigrate. And it also is an anti-Semitic tone. She said, we need England for English culture, was her quote. Rhodesian aircraft. Rhodesian aircraft shot down. Ian Smith plans to take tough new tactics, measures against the guerrillas. Before elections, very tough actions against opponents. Ian Smith has developed this tough new tactic because of USA giving him what is estimated $1 billion in military hardware because the regime was toppling. That should make us feel good. $1 billion of our taxpayers' money that could have helped rebuild cities. So bombing in Zambia in retaliation is taking place. Rhodesia is striking at Zambia. As you know, Zambia is backed by the Soviet Union and China, as well as Mozambique. The retaliation has been severe. Police measures internally, it is estimated that now 3,000 people are under arrest and under varying degrees of torture, black citizens of Zimbabwe, as Ian Smith makes a desperate last stand that was made possible only because of the fascist cooperation of U.S. tax dollars that were meant to help the people going there to give him military hardware that can bomb the villages of those poor innocent peoples into oblivion. Smith does not worry, he said, about what the outside world thinks. Now that the USA has lifted the ban on economic aid and military aid, there is much speculation as to what his new tactics will be. Some feel it will be the employment of the neutron bomb. They feel, said BBC, that the United States is not keeping enough controls over the neutron bomb, that partial control already has been taken over by Rhodesia and South Africa. You know what the neutron bomb is. It destroys every living thing in all the concentration camps and reservations without destroying one piece of property. Rumor has it also that there will be more private talks between Ian Smith and the United States CIA. Air Force is 100% white. Most of them have been trained in United States by our tax dollars at the Air Force base, particularly in New Mexico. And they are a formidable force and a cruel bunch of operators, said BBC. Rhodesian civil servants say they are willing to work for a new black government if Great Britain will give them certain concessions. Great Britain said we are in no positions to give the concessions. The country belongs to Zimbabwe. It's a matter of their own internal decision. At least that was a fair admission that they had intruded too much in the past in Rhodesia or what we call Zimbabwe. It was the British that put up Ian Smith, the racist, in the first place, and it was Ian Smith that declared an illegal regime that broke away from the Commonwealth. Johannesburg, 170,000 tons, 2 weeks, shut the door please, 2 weeks ago, 170,000 tons, 2 weeks ago, railway resumed to bring the fertilizer into Johannesburg after those who were fighting the South African, members of SWAPU and other black liberation groups had destroyed an entire railway system and 170,000 tons of important fertilizer meant for the regime in South Africa. It got to Zambia through a roundabout route, however. Instead of the English, instead of the Afrikaners, the white racists getting a hold of. Instead of the situation allowing for the total destruction of the 170,000 tons of fertilizer, the guerrilla operations managed to get it through to Zambia through help traveling by night, by covered wagon, by truck, so Zambia got all of the fertilizer that was meant for the Republic of South Africa, the fascist dictatorship of South Africa. Venezuela, visit by England. They're trying to decide some agreements on oil, crude oil. Cuba, normalizing relations with the West. It's felt that USA is going to pull away from this ridiculous boycott that has existed so long between Cuba and the United States. Crawford, 5 years suspended sentence, shows the humanity of the Soviet system. He plans to leave the country soon. He was guilty of white marketeering of money on the black market or white market exchange. In any other nation, he would have been arrested and convicted for 10 years. But the Soviets are known for their humane treatment of people. The BBC claims that their activities would be normal and okay in the West. Not okay, though, by Soviet law, to try to apologize for him being arrested in the first place. It's a known fact that England and all nations do not allow money to be sent or sold on the black market, white market. Did this case stifle foreign business? Yes, it has, according to BBC, and they feel that the Soviet Union wants it that way. The Soviet Union and the Cold War atmosphere is learning, has having less and less faith in the Western nations, and they are cutting off more and more commerce with them as the Cold War heightens. British and Americans are developing an advanced airfield attack system, bomb, designed to pick up Soviet airfields. The bomb opens up over the target, and the crater makes it very difficult to fill in because the bomb is so dangerous. If on an airstrip, it puts it out of commission for many, many months and makes everything around it radioactive for thousands of years. No mention that Warsaw Pact has anything like this. The Soviets said, "We do not tell what we have." Said U.S. talks like a little child playing marbles. We keep our secrets until it's time to fight. This is the Congress of the United States is crying out for neutralization of the Soviet naval superiority. The Soviet Union's naval superiority is now approximately five times that of the United States. Another Rhodesian aircraft was shot down by rifles by black guerrillas. A people's court was held for all 70 of them, and there were 60, there were 90 originally, 20 died, and all 70 were shot within 4 hours. They represented different parts of the regime, and they're tired of being tortured. It's probably excess, but anybody could feel for the Zimbabweans when their villages are being burned out, their children being napalmed to death, and so they are really getting back at some of these Rhodesian white oppressors. Nearly 900 have died in Indian floods. Whole population has been affected today. Another 900 died. It looks like that there will be nothing left of food for that subcontinent. The situation remains grave. The Soviet Union has been the first nation to promise the excess of food supply. In a terse remark from TASS, there was an accusation that the CIA has seeded clouding to cause this mess over India. And if it keeps up, the Soviets said, if you want war, we are prepared to fight a war. Now, continuing here, a few more points. Voice of America News. 1 million Iranians marched in the streets of the capital city demanding political freedoms. It's out of control in Iran when 1 million can gather in the capital. This was the act of defiance against the Shah. Shah's ban on public demonstrations. Peaceful except for police shooting. The police are afraid to move. The army's afraid to move. And it looks like Shah's government, one of the richest in the world, may topple soon. Tear gas was shot into the air, but the police are afraid to confront the masses. Never has there been that much resistance in the capital of people opposed to a government. 1 million people, approximately, in Tehran, Iran, protesting the unjust system of the Shah. Stand by. No plans for general elections in the fall. A date for the general elections will be continued and postponed in the interest of democratic security, he said. He said, if I conduct elections in the fall, the neo-fascist coalition that includes the National Front and Margaret Thatcher's conservative government will destroy England and bring about a fascist state. And even though no Prime Minister has ever defied an election when Parliament called for one, he said he will if it means he goes to jail. He said, we're not going to see England turned into a racist and fascist state. That's a brave action on his part. Actions have already been picked. The elections have already been picked by the newspaper and general public as October 5th. He announced to the House of Commons that he is challenging the opposition parties to defeat him, and he said the newspapers can go to hell. They do not run England. Experts predict that he would not get the minority vote in an election. U.S. dollar. Slight fall today on the Japanese yen. Experts say it is because Japanese businessmen will be on the market for oil and U.S. currency soon. Soweto. Demonstration in South Africa in memory of Steve Biko assassination. Although there is a public ban on demonstration, speakers got up on the platforms and read former speeches of Biko's, including one that criticized the education program of South Africa. Immediately after the speakers finished their speech, they were all arrested and put in house arrest for the rest of their life. That was 110 people were put under house arrest for the rest of their life. So there are some brave people around. They were black and white that were put under house arrest in the dread fascist state that oppresses black and Indian people in South Africa. United Nations. General Kurt Waldheim announced the United Nations Liberation Plan for Namibia, which provides free elections and ensures national liberation by the middle of next year, so they say. The Soviets are very skeptical. These are the wishes of the Western nations. SWAPU, the revolutionary command of Namibia, wants a ceasefire and the removal of all African troops and the presence of some Cuban and Soviet troops in a peacekeeping force before they will accept any negotiation with USA and its puppet Union of South Africa. France, major French seaport. All ship movement suspended because of a 4-meter, 40-feet whale who is stranded there since earlier this week. French Navy firing blank shells into the harbor to try and scare him back into the ocean, but he still stands there and looks at them, and it isn't working. And the public is aroused in France about him. He's such a beautiful specimen, they won't allow the government to fire upon him and kill him, so he's just basking in the sunlight in the major port of France. This is the end of the news for the day, and I'll give you later news from Moscow, perhaps in the afternoon. Be sure to study your news well. Keep up with the news. Remember testing this evening. I love you. Attention, attention. Be sure that you recognize that the distinguished guests come in tomorrow, and the agent provocateur who has stepped forward out of fear for his life, and he says that even though he wasn't a socialist, he could not condone kidnapping, murder, mercenary actions. As you know, he has indicted several of our ex-members as being CIA. In fact, some like Stone and Deanna Myrtle go back before the membership began. There are a number of questions we will wish to ask him. We will wish to ask him, Radio Room, do not help, but help me to remember why he was talking to Marvin Swinney, talking to the claims office, deed trust office in Ukiah, and why it was that he told Carol Dennis that I would be assassinated. And moreover, why he told Carol Dennis, when he was against us and was running the big office for the conspirators, why he told her that no one could come and go from Jonestown without him being informed by a CIA agent here. We will demand and see that we get those answers. If not, we will turn him over to the authorities, but don't say anything about that. They will happily agree with us, as they did with the woman who took the cameras and didn't listen to us. They confiscated all of her cameras and her films. It's good to be in an environment, a socialist environment, that's not afraid to stand up to CIA agents, and that woman was also an agent. We have now been informed she was an agent, and Valerie did such a good job of standing up against her mother. It was obvious he had no interest in Valerie, beautiful as she is all the years she was reared and educated without her help at all, so she was here for mischief. Now remember, you don't speak to strangers other than to say hello and goodbye. If I bring the person to you, you can say, I'll rehearse you what to say beforehand. We say one thing with the rush to judgment offer, Mark Lane, who wrote Rush to Judgment, and codenamed Zorro, that showed the FBI killed Martin Luther King, Rush to Judgment that showed President Kennedy was killed by oil interest. We will speak one way to them about our views, our socialist views, but we will be very careful. He'll be in the East House. No one is to approach that house, and no one will have tight security to see he doesn't come or go. We will be careful to look for the fact that he could be. That doesn't make much sense. He's given so much information, and there's not much more lies he could say, because so many good people have been here and went away praising the place. But we must still be mindful that he might be a double agent, and he might try to contact some agent in our midst. So everyone is to watch him all the time. Smile, be friendly, but just keep an eye on him. Never once. When I get up to the gentleman, I will make a certain expression. I will shake his hand very, very soundly. I will hug the other brothers. I will shake his hands very, very soundly. A large handshake. That will point out to you who the conspirator has been, who is now defected to tell us that not only is Stone in the CIA and has been since the beginning of the church, but is in the Nazi movement connected with Interpol. Apparently, the only reason Stone didn't do harm to us earlier was because my power had touched him in a healing, and that caused him to bide his time. But as time went on and work was too much, he turned and has been working as an agent constantly since. But it's good to know that even through this conspirator, he reports that the entire conspiracy is nervous because there are elements that do not approve in the Bar Association of their attack on People's Temple, and they consider Stone is breaching the attorney-client privilege and that he'll be losing his license very soon. We want to also radio, see that they write letters here, all sorts of letters to that effect, Professor Chop, so they can go out with our attorney, Charles Gary, or Mark Lane, the great author, Don Freed won't be coming at this time because he's making movies and writing another book, but he'll be back very soon. In something in the Soviet news I thought of interest, in praise of snakes, there are more superstitions, myths, and legends about snakes than almost anything on Earth. First, only about 500 of the 2,500 known species are anyway poisonous, and very few of those are deadly. What concerns experts much more is that human ignorance by campaigns to wipe out snakes disturbs the ecological balance of nature. The Soviet Union has made it a crime to kill snakes. That's how tender they are to life. They want to keep the balance that nature's created. Where they have been most zealously killed off, they are replaced by plagues of mice and rats and other things much more dangerous. The Soviet government has made it a crime and a sentence of 3 months if anyone kills a snake, unless the snake was in the actual attack about to bite them. But then they want you to prove it for sure, because they say you can get out of the way of a snake if you care to. And snakes are the sole source of snake venom, which is of the utmost value in medicinal research in the Soviet Union, in the fighting of cancer, in heart disease, in various other kinds of conditions. Snake venom has rich and valued use. In the Soviet Union, SSSR, many snakes are now protected and special nurseries have been set up to ensure a regular supply. And that's important that some people in the world do regard life a little more sacred than we who have religious backgrounds and are afraid of snakes. There's only 2,500 snakes in the world, 500 that are any degree poisonous, and less than 50 that are in any way deadly poisonous. So take care where you walk. Don't handle them. We have, unfortunately, in the jungle more deadly snakes than most, but they never come inside here if you stay out of their way. They will never bother you if you're working on Father Mission, wherever you're supposed to be. You don't have a thing to worry about, not one thing. I thought I would give you the third installment of Leonid Brezhnev's war reminiscence. That's the president of the Communist Party. The night of February 3, 1943 was an especially dark one. The assault boats slipped silently out of Gelenjik for Timiskaya Bay. From there, the point of deployment, they scurried for the shore as signal flares shot into the air. The same moment our artillery began pounding the pre-designated strip of shore. The flaming salvos of a Kayachua, this was the first time in the war that a rocket projector had been mounted on a trawler. The Skumbria thunderous burst into rolling. Thunderous explosion. Two of our torpedo boats swiftly cut across the assault craft's course, sending up a smoke screen in their wake and blinding the enemy's fire from the shore. A patrol launch opened fire against the area where the fish cannery was neutralizing the weapon sights that had survived the artillery attack. At the instant, Kunikov's men hit the shore. Our batteries halted their fire. In war, not everything proceeds as planned. Often the course of battle runs somewhat differently, and sometimes very differently indeed from the way it was mapped out at headquarters. That is when the courage, dedication, and initiative of every commander and every political officer, of every soldier and sailor, become something priceless. War historians know that there had been an attempt to gain a beachhead at another point near Yuzhnaya Ozerika, 30 kilometers from where we were. That is where the main landing was to have taken place, but a storm arose and delayed the departure of the landing vessels. The ground forces were also late reaching the starting point, but the breakthrough by Kumikov's men, which took the enemy completely by surprise, proved to be exceptionally successful. and we immediately took advantage of it. Being outnumbered by 100-1, we were able to breach the curtain of fire. Our landing detachment was able to seize a still very small but very important sector of a shore near Stanichiki, a Novorossiysk suburb. About 1,000 Nazis were killed and 4 guns were captured, which immediately opened fire against the enemy. 90 minutes later, a second group reached the shore, and then another, which brought up the landing force strength to 800, and we were still outnumbered. They were in the 400,000s to our 800. The enemy moved new units to the site. Fascist planes bombed it. Heavy artillery began hammering away at it, and desperate counterattacks came one after another in staccato succession. But it was too late. The troops had managed to get a firm foothold, capturing several blocks in Stanichiki and 3 kilometers of railway, and although they suffered considerable losses, they didn't retreat one step. Over several nights, 2 marine brigades, an infantry brigade, a fighter and a tank regiment, and several other units were landed on the beachhead. Hundreds of tons of ammunition and food supplies were unloaded. 5 days later, there were 17,000 fighting men with submachine guns, mortars, guns, and anti-tank cannons in the vicinity. Then 5 partisans detachments were landed. I would like to take this opportunity to salute the partisans. Those who think of them as isolated group in the enemy's rear are quite wrong. Many detachments did come into being spontaneously, but their actions were coordinated from party-led centers that were never broken up, even though the Nazis had conquered half of the Soviet territory. At times, they carried out large-scale operations in full keeping with regular unit command plans. This was the situation on the small land Malya Zemla. The successful landing by the 1st Assault Detachment and the operative troop buildup and the advance by the regiments and corps along a well-fortified and mine shore all demanded clockwork coordination of infantry, engineer units, sailors, and artillery. The artillery could not afford the slightest error. At many points, our units were a grenade thrown from the enemies. It was even tougher for our pilots. We were outnumbered by 40,000 to 800,000, 40,000 to 400,000. That's a hell of a number. I recall how our men, said Brzezinski, the president of the Soviet Union, I recall how our men laid out their undershirts on the trench, breastwork prior to our air raids as a way of designating our forward lines. It should be noted that logistically our position was not at all a good one. We held a narrow strip of shore, long, bare, and flat, while the Germans controlled all the heights in the forest. This was the time it first dawned on me, said Brezhnev, president of the Soviet Union, who fought in the war, that apart from everything else, war was tremendous labor. The labor of yesterday's steelworkers, fitters, miners, farmers, combine operators, stock breeders, construction workers, and carpenters. All Malaya Zemla had been transformed into an underground fortress. 230 well-concealed observation posts were its eyes, and 500 gun pits its iron fists. Dozens of miles of communication trenches, thousands of foxholes, emplacements, and slit trenches had been dug. We were forced to bore approaches through rocky ground and build underground ammunition dumps, underground hospitals, and an underground city to shelter the inhabitants. We were forced to move only along the trenches. It's not an easy thing to do, but if you just stick your head out a bit, you are finished. You had to stay in a sitting position for long stretches of the time. I said at one time 36 hours in a sitting position. Some of us all had to go through some of this. USA should have had to go through some of this. Then they would hate capitalism and fascism and know how dangerous nuclear war is and how important it is to have peace. And later, when the fascists were finally forced to retreat, some of our men suffering from what we called sitting sickness. They couldn't get up. They were stiffened in the motion of being seated. The inventiveness of the engineers was really amazing. Sappers connected shell holes with the trenches and turned them into dugouts. Three defense lines, a kilometer apart, about a mile apart, were built and minefields laid along them. We had well-functioning underground communication lines. The command post stationed in premises cut into a cliff at a depth of over 20 feet could secretly move troops through the communication trenches to wherever the situation became perilous. There was a no man's land. In one section, the enemy positions were 50 or 60 feet from ours. The fortified beachhead became a kind of fortress city. Streets even came into being. Gospitalnaya Hospital, Sapyornaya Sapper, Pekhotnaya Infantry, and Matroskaya Sailor Streets. None of them had a single house, and no one knew who had made up the names, but they didn't come out of an empty air. Sapyornaya was a ravine, well shelled and well sheltered from enemy fire, while Gospitalnaya Hospital was on a stretch of hilly terrain, totally exposed to the fire, and men frequently landed in hospital straight from there. There was no machinery, no building materials, but our able chaps, dedicated to Marxist-Leninism, ingeniously burrowed into the ground, moving into stay, and never give up, to die first. Everyone who took part in building that fortress could be called a hero. The reader may get the impression that the life of the thousands on the beachhead was a constant diet of attacks, bombing raids, and hand-to-hand combat. It wasn't. During that long period, life there had all the elements that usually fill a person's life. We put out and read newspapers. We held party, Communist Party meetings, celebrated holidays, and attended lectures also. We determined to keep human civilization alive. We even organized a chess tournament. The Army and Navy song and dance companies put on shows, and artists worked there. I remember how Central Committee of the Communist Party team once arrived. It was the first time they had been in our area, and they asked me, President Brezhnev, head of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, if I would acquaint them with Malaka Zemlya's fighters. That time we set out in a torpedo boat. As soon as we had left, our side fired a flare, signaling our existence. Just about over, the Germans kept up an incessant barrage of fire as we approached the landing point. They had high-angle guns, so it was very important that we hug the shore, skim along the edge, and again shells began exploding quite nearby. For a moment, we forgot that they were aimed at us. It was an extraordinary sight indeed. A long-range coast battery, looking something like the Tsar Bell, was there on the beachhead. It had been turned into a command post, and it was to this post that we had to make our way under fire, and we were greatly outnumbered. I was already injured, and I'd had similar situations that made me somewhat apprehensive, but I think our guests were very impressed. At times, things were definitely very tough. We were cut off from the mainland. There was a shortage of salt, and we sometimes ran out of bread and had to go 2 or 3 days fighting endlessly without food because the Germans had blockaded our supplies, and USA and our allies were nowhere to be seen with the support that we needed. But we fought on. Whole units were sent out into the woods to collect wild garlic. To make matters worse, it was extremely damp in the catacombs. The men were chilled through to the bone at night, and the political department, communist officers, had to concern themselves with heating facilities, ordering iron stoves, and gathering firewood. And yet, Malaya Zemlya This so-called small land remains Soviet land, and the people on it remain people of liberation. They made plans, joked, laughed, and even organized birthday parties for every soldier that was in the ranks. On February 15, 11 days after the first landing, this is in 43. On February 15, 11 days after the first landing, one commando, Shalva Tatarashvili, turned 23. His inseparable friend, Petor Pyort Vereshchagin, gave him 23 cartridges from his own submachine gun disc as a present. It was a very precious gift. Ammunition was in short supply, and an enemy attack was soon to come. A great deal in that life next door to death seemed at first glance absolutely out of place in a war situation. I, Dorofeyev, chief of the political department of the 255th Marine Brigade, once did a count and found that there were 15 counselors to city, district, and rural Soviets in the brigade. All the city officials, the mayors, everyone, all the important elements of the Communist Party were right on the front line fighting, shoulder to shoulder with all the working class. It was decided to call a session. Now what problems could they possibly tackle? The same ones they had to deal with in peacetime. The needs of the people, public services. Their first decision involved building a bathhouse. That was their first and major problem, was to build a bathhouse and an outdoor toilet. And it was built in 4 hours. An excellent Russian bathhouse was built, as Iwan would put it, after only 5 hours. That's where they have steam. The Russians like to get the impurities out of their bodies. They use bathhouses, and it's quite effective in the Scandinavian. It relaxes the bones and muscles. We probably ought to look at such a thing here when we have other things, priorities taken care of. I was invited to try it out also, and although small, the steam room preserved the steam well. Resourcefulness, invention, and wit were very much appreciated in Malia Zemla, and there were no few people of such abilities. I remember that certain fella, with a bit of inspiration, sent once on some business to Jelandinshik, came upon a lost cow wandering in the mountains. He immediately made up his mind to bring it to Malia Zemla. He made his appearance on the pier with the animal and asked the motor launch commander to let him take it on board. Everybody standing around had a good laugh, but were all for the initiative, the wounded would have milk. There's something error here. Everybody standing around had a good laugh, but were all for the initiative. The wounded would have milk. They managed to land the cow safely, and she was housed in a reliable shelter. Where do you think the shelter was? They put her in the cabin's quarters. Her milk was regularly supplied to the hospital, which was in the cellar of what was once a state farm vineyard before the war. But the important thing wasn't the milk. The cow brought the men a lot of joy, especially those from the countryside. After each bombing or shelling, they would come running to find out whether their darling was safe. She became the mascot, the pet of the entire fighting force of the Soviets that were outnumbered 10 to 1, 400,000 Germans to 40,000 Soviets. They would always ask how their darling was, whether or not she had been injured, and would stroke her gently. It's not an easy thing to explain, but the appearance of this purely peacetime creature in a situation, an atmosphere that was enormously tense, where we expected to die any moment, helped people preserve certain psychological equilibrium. It helped remind the men that all life's joys would return, that life was still going on, but that life had to be defended and fought for, and one day socialism would be a reality all over the world. Thus ends the news and commentary. Thank you, and I love you very much. Attention, attention. There are too many people, I'm observing, going around through the yards, that are sitting around, chatting, walking slowly, aimlessly. I think it's a shame, friends. We have so much money to spend out. We got to protect this conspirator. We have to run him around all sorts of places. That's going to cost us money so that no one in the conspiracy can kill him. And we've got to bring Mark Lane here. He's gone all the way from Washington to San Francisco to take care of our affairs. He's a man who charges $1,000 an hour. And so naturally, we've got to pay for his airplane fare. We need some people to work and to make things. And you sit around here, you pain me badly. I've got a fever of 103. You ask the doctor. I'm carrying right on, doing my work, and I've got diarrhea like a goose. And I'm going right on with my work. I don't know why it is that you just stand around, and I ask administrators and supervisors to do something about this. Because apparently some supervisors are covering ass for their workers so the workers won't say anything about them. But there's too much dilly-dally, too much lack of enthusiasm. By God, we've got to make this place shine so that we can be a model for the rest of the world. If we win the battle here, and it certainly shows this government is backing us up in this matter of CIA agents when they confiscated over $1,000 of cameras on our word alone, on that bitch that came in here who was also an agent, trying to act like she'd been interested in her daughter Valerie, a beautiful girl who she deserted. But I'll tell you, this has got to be made a place of productivity. The Soviets are coming any day, and I want this place to blossom. You could be looking around for eyesore if you got so much time to sit on your ass and talk, whether you're in security or what you're in. You could plant some things. Go ask Gene. Shake it and plant things. Get rid of all the ugly eyesores. There's a path that is behind, as I said, behind the schools. That's got to be planted in. I want all that area planted in. We don't want any of these old, dry areas that look so unbeautified, lacking in beauty and attractiveness. Let's all get our minds on it now, and inspections and public services, let's get with this, because the first ones are coming tomorrow, and we've got to be on ball for that matter. We must be. We've got to make this place spick and span. Pick up debris and wood around where you've been working, remove that stuff, and get it out of sight. I have to urge upon you that this is the case. We don't want any barren space. We want plants covering all areas that have been just simply cleared, and they look like just bare patches of ground. I urge you to do this immediately and make better paths between the two schools rather than a piece of old stick. I don't want to see that kind of crap. I'm asking for you to make the best of the beauty of this place. And I'm asking the special inspectors that I named, plus the inspection committee and the public services, to do something about it right now. Thank you. Remember the People's Rally. The teaching will be under the pavilion for testing at 7:30. Thank you so much. I love you. Please show that you care about others so we can get this place beautiful and get into some of these magazines and some of the picture companies that want to do something about us around the world so we can get some funds in here to make your life the happiest that it could be. Or whatever. You've got this life, then you've got the life in the Soviet Union that's paradise if you want that. So we've got so much to look forward to. Let's be more energetic. Thank you so much. Attention. Attention. There's still not enough energy shown by workers. Around the cottages, in my review, they're not clean. The porches are not presentable. Their beds are not presentable. The shoes are not put away and cleaned. This is essential, absolutely essential. We must stop the dilatory way in which some people regard their own property. The collective property belongs to all people. Waste has got to be cut down in food. And we must have people not demanding, medications for hypochondriac conditions. If I were to go on the basis of my pain, they'd be giving me a dozen pills a day. So I'm urging you, before you have to be brought up to people's rally, to take heed. Tonight, they will be set up the screen for Russian for a brief time. Then there will be a test. The test on the news up until last people's rally. So be prepared for that. Those who do not pass will have 3 extra classes. Some good people don't pass, but they need learning skills enhanced so that they'll be acceptable to the beautiful paradise of the Soviet Union if we need it.